Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode 390. PYP is six years old. So there's no better time for poetry than on a six-year birthday. So I share that. I share some quotes. I share a special text from a special person. And then I'd share what's happening in my life, and it's all wonderful, and it's all good, and it's all beautiful. And I'm super, super, super thankful. Like, again, I know what it was like for the first 48. That's a TV show, the first 48 hours. But the first 48 years of my life, I know exactly what they were like. And I know what it was like from 48 to 50. And I know with super high clarity what 50 to almost 56 has been like. You know, Zen, I've had him for 5 years. He's turning six. Podcast, turning six. I'm turning 56. Yeah, I just love the pieces of my life. I love them all together. I love, you know, looking back and going, wow, I got to podcast I've had for 6 years and I've never missed a Thursday. I love that. I got this dog that I hang out with each and every day, and we go to the beach, and I got some super, super dope things happening. You know, as far as my world, personal world, Super Bowl, you know, the art event that I'm invited to. And I talk about the documentary, became a documentary, my film that I shot. And then found art going in the store. I mean, it's pretty nuts, 2021. But I'm going to keep sharing. I'm going to keep sharing what's happening in my life. Hopefully, selling the simple thing. My life, 6 years in this podcast, is what's possible. If I can go from where I was at 48 to almost 56, I can do it. Anybody can do it, but I'm telling you, man, anybody should do it. Anybody should do it. The payoff is huge. Like, I love it. It is the best time to be me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've been a listener this whole time, if you're a brand new listener, appreciate the support. Appreciate you following me. Shout out, thank you to my wonderful producer, Nico, for the joy that you bring to the podcast, for making it better, and for just being you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, just I'm just blessed to have a podcast and blessed to have listeners. And happy birthday, PYP. Enjoy. What PYP means to me. What PYP means to me, I think anyone could easily see. But then again, no one could truly see all that it does mean to me. 6 years is a long time, and yet episode one is as clear as day. To have learned, grown, and evolved, I'm even impressed, I must say. When I began, there was no clear path, no destination in mind. But I did not quit in lieu of the not-so-straight line. First there were two, then there was one. The season of Tom's solo pods had begun. With limited guests and fewer people wanting to share, PYP became Tom's verbal journal simply because he cares. In AA, one can share their experience without judgment or critique. As Tom moved forward, it became his mantra, so to speak. During year one, Tom was rescued by Zen and the real healing began. What Tom truly needed versus wanted soon became his master plan. A spiritual path chosen, just a man and his dog, embracing and facing all that awaits no matter how thick the fog. The path he walked along is the path he healed along. It became his passion, his message, his life song. Healing came and went. Gratitude became his power. The reality is no mud, no lotus flower. The only choice is to be our best and do all that it takes. Be thankful, be present, deem yourself worthy, no matter the stakes. Tom's message is out as he continues to execute, sharing all as if it were a golden parachute. Come to Tom's well and buy the water he sells is his creed. Evolving, being thankful, while giving others permission is what he bleeds. Thank you, and thank you for being part of my journey and by simply being you. This is a text I got from one of my favorite people, Joe Ringaneri. Hi, Tom. I'm just reflecting on my birthday today, and I wanted to share some thoughts. See, what's dope about that to me is before Joe and I started chatting, I didn't know Joe. He shared what he had gone through and what it was like, but I didn't know him. Knowing him as I do now, I don't think he would have ever said that before. I don't think he would have ever texted someone and said, I'm just reflecting on my birthday today, and I wanted to share some thoughts. Like, see, that's just stopping. That's just pausing. That's remembering how he got to be his best. By being present and being thankful. And once you're there, like again, I just keep getting these texts from him. And everyone is like this, I love this. Because this is who I am. This is how I would be. You know, this is exactly who I would be, how I would respond if I was Joe. And it just fills my heart. He's just one of the best pro-you success stories that I have. Our family is really good. We've avoided getting sick so far. I work out a lot. I'm in really good shape. I feel really good. Me and my wife have done some work on us. It's been a great year for our marriage. Our son is doing well in preschool. We're doing a bunch of stuff to the house that we're excited about. I know we're doing what we're doing because of what I lived through before. It's amazing to think of where I was to where I'm at. Frankly, if there wasn't a pandemic going on, 33 might have been my best year of my life. It still was, Joe. It still was the best year of your life. Fact. So many decisions I've made, navigating the early days of the pandemic, mentally preparing to be a dad, always brings me back to the early sessions. Gratitude lists. How are you right now? I have notes from our early chats. I will see myself as Tom sees me. You know I'm grateful, but I'll keep saying it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All my love to you and Zen. Like, if that's all I did was help that dude and get what I get from that guy. I mean, how I walk the earth, that's all I care about right now. Thanks for being you, Joe. And thanks for filling my cup. Realize that now is all there ever is. There is no past or future except as memory or anticipation in your mind. Some changes look negative on the surface, but you will soon realize that space is being created in your life for something new to emerge. When you are in creation mode, the frontal lobe is in control. It becomes so engaged that your thoughts become your reality and your experience. Whatever you are thinking about in those moments is all there is for the frontal lobe to process. I love that. All endings are new beginnings. We just don't know it at the time. Mountains in your life will never end. They'll just be different. What stops me from seeing clearly? Projecting my own insecurities onto others, desperately holding on to my plans, still holding on to the past, self-limiting beliefs, the need for constant validation, fear of uncertainty. Anything that annoys you is teaching you patience. Anyone who abandons you is teaching you how to stand up on your own two feet. Anything that angers you is teaching you forgiveness and compassion. Anything that has power over you is teaching you how to take your power back. Anything you hate is teaching you unconditional love. Anything you fear is teaching you courage to overcome your fear. Anything you can't control is teaching you how to let go. It's all in your mind. Whatever you hold in your mind will tend to occur in your life. If you continue to believe as you have always believed, you will continue to act as you have always acted. If you continue to act as you have always acted, you will continue to get what you have always gotten. If you want different results in your life or your work, all you have to do is change your mind. Beneath every behavior, there is a feeling, and beneath each feeling is a need. And when we meet that need, rather than focus on the behavior, we begin to deal with the cause, not the symptom. Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demon. Your purpose in life is simple. It's to grow. It's to evolve. To amaze yourself at the life and love you can achieve. To experience the experience. To feel the feeling. To live the next level over and over again. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be. Listen, trust, move. Last one. Things that excite you are not random. They are connected to your purpose. Follow them. I can and I will. I am and I will. I do. PYP is 6, y'all. That's a pretty dope thing in my life. Like, if I just open the door right now and Tom, a month before PYP started, walked in the door and we just sat down. I'd be like, dude, it's a pretty cool ride. Hang on. It's going to be okay. But I'm, you know, I just, before I recorded this, I wrote, you know, wow, okay, it's, you know, it's going to be the 6th birthday of PYP. So I'll just talk a little bit about what PYP means to me. And just kind of like, I'm like, I'm going to cry. And then I'm like, you know what, I kind of felt like writing a poem. And so that's what I did. And I held back the tears and didn't cry. But, you know, PYP is a big deal to me. I mean, one, because it's mine. You know, I created it. I started. I didn't quit. I preach little things done consistently. And, you know, this is episode 390 that I've done in a row. I haven't missed a Thursday in 6 years. I mean, I just, that's dope. No one can take that shit from me. That's mine. That whole paragraph I just said, that's mine. It's out there, done, fact. It's like an AA, that experience. You know, there it is, just what I said. Hey, the last 6 years, how I started, boom, 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 it's all mine. I'm thrilled. I mean, that's, I get to say it. I get to talk about it. It's like mine. And this came up the other day, but I was talking to someone about how I have always kind of started things late, you know. Joined karate when I was 18, and I met a little girl, 7. She was a black belt. I was like, how did you get, like, how? It's like, well, you know, here was. And then when I went to Vegas, and it was that show, I was like the 3rd or 4th oldest guy in that show. And I went to Japan. I was the oldest guy that went to Japan. And I didn't start acting until I was 34. But at some point, I was kind of like, whatever, dude. You know, you're late to the party, but hey, you got to the party. Let's focus on you're at the party. Not that you're late or you're old. You know what I mean? And then I just, it's just what happens, you know. And I think about, you know, doing my artwork. I mean, I didn't really start that until I was in my 40s, you know. So to be 50 and go, I'm going to start a podcast. I mean, I love that. You know, why would you do that? Like, you're trying to make money. No, you don't. I'm not going to make any money doing it. Well, why are you doing it? You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, but now it's a thing, and it's a journey, and that's a success story, and it's what's possible, and it's my story. So I could have babbled on and on and on about what PYP means to me, but I thought the poem went well. It's weird, though. Like, when I feel like writing a poem, it's because it's like I can feel like my heart wants to talk. And then that's kind of what comes out in poetry. It's just, I don't know, it's just real kind of raw feelings, you know, in those sentences. And that's when I always get a little emotional and teary reading them, because they just pull on my heartstrings. And I wrote it. So, you know, I'm second-guessing myself. You know, with the whole, you know, tooting my horn, you know, 2020, best year of my life, 55, getting a tattoo, oh my God, 2021 is better. And, you know, the whole unicorn ride was perfect to me in the sense that everything has gone, like, amazing. And that was the only snafu kind of thing, but it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, parts of it I would take back, like driving there and back, you know, the last trip. But there was nothing bad. Like, when I fast forward, go, okay, right now, look around my house. Right now, look at my art. Right now, look at what's happening. It's, you know, it wasn't even a speed bump. But everything is, it just gets better. You know, she'll come to my well by the water I sell. That's what I'm selling. I mean, literally, I didn't plan any of this stuff in 2021 that's happening. So again, when the unicorn was crashing, I was like, well, I just, you know, really cared about that store. Let me follow up. So I went out there, spoke to Tracy. She said thumbs up. And I was... You know, I mean, I went out there to meet her, and then, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, let's move ahead. So I was looking forward to that. And then I got invited to participate in LEAF, and that's the March 27th, 28th. My birthday is the 25th. So I was, like, really stoked about that event. But there's 3 parts, the live competition, a panel, and then a film. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it all. And the film was like a 15-minute video. So I'm like, well, cool, I'll just shoot myself. And then also Michael, my neighbor, who we've really bonded, you know, especially since the holidays and this year, and our dogs are best friends. So it's a super dope relationship, and he's got a super dope girl, and he's super creative and talented and wonderful. And he, you know, was like, well, I'll shoot your thing. And all of a sudden you know, it was like, now I'm looking forward to this film, and I'm looking forward to the event, and I'm looking forward to being in the store. And I was just like, I mentioned before on an episode, I said, I can't really remember going, I've got these things that I'm looking forward to. And not right, wrong, it's nothing. It's just awareness. And I'm like, no, these are really cool things that are happening in 2021 that I didn't plan, I didn't ask for, I didn't write down. but the dopest things ever. Like, Leaf is my Super Bowl. And deep, deep down, all I ever wanted, and I kind of found this out through recent events, but was my stuff to be in a store. My art to be in a physical location. That's what I've always wanted. And deep, deep down, I've always wanted to, like, at the end of my life, go, okay, there's my documentary. I did enough to get a documentary shot. Like, all those are, like, bucket list. Like, one day I hope, but I won't focus on it because I'm just being present. Didn't even write them down. Was it even? I mean, I don't even think I was completely conscious of them all as I am now. Because when they were happening, I'm like, okay, this is the, like, I was like, I'm done. Like, I felt nothing else needed before. But I'm like, I'm going to participate in Leaf. I'm going to have my art in a store. I'm going to shoot a documentary about Zen and I. Like, what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So, 48 hours before the film shoot, the documentary shoot, me and Zen with Michael, I go, I'm going to go. I just hadn't been to the beach in a while. And I was like, you know, I've never had to go out and go, okay, you're going out to Crete. It's being captured on film. So, this is it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't come out tomorrow. You can't read. There's no redo. It's today. So if it's windy, whatever. If it's high tide, whatever. If there's no sand, whatever. If there's no stones, whatever. If you can't get the balance, whatever. And I had never, ever, ever in all of my years ever had that feeling. And I think that was my impetus to go out on Tuesday. And I just kind of felt like, oh, let's just go out there and whatever uncomfortableness I'm feeling, I'm like, okay, I'll go to the beach. I'll let that just kind of pass through me. I'll be out there. I'll feel better and whatever. But I've kind of got it in my mind. It's somewhat of a practice run. And I wanted to film some stuff for Michael, just show him, like, here's the walk, here's the descent, here's where the cliffs are, you know, just to give him kind of an idea before we even, you know, went out to Rincon, Carpinteria Bluffs. So I get there, I do some filming, it's a little windy, and I'm like, you know, okay, whatever, and I go down, but, like, there's, you know, enough sand, tide's low enough, and I start doing this one balance and burning my shoulders, and it falls, and I start doing it again, and it falls, and then I come in, and it just was not a great day, and I kind of stacked up these single stones up on this kind of ledge, and lip, and looked fine. I made a video. I'm like, okay, as far as today, you're going, oh, just a normal day, you came out and created, that's fine, not at all my best, but I was kind of spent before. And then the fact I couldn't get, like, I had never failed, I can't remember last time I couldn't get a balance to stay, fact, and I had two that fell back to back during my practice run before my documentary. And then I know it started at the beach Tuesday, but it was the drive out there, being there, and the drive back, and I got up on Wednesday, and I had the feeling, this epiphany, and I text Michael, and it was, whatever comes on Thursday, I'm going to embrace, I'm going to accept. Because it's not about that balance on that day, that piece of artwork that day. I go, this is what you've always wanted. I mean, this is the kind of epiphany about the documentary. This is what you've always wanted. A documentary shot about your life. If it was, you know, worthy of a documentary. But it was like, well, it's worthy of a documentary because of Zen and I. You know, my life right now, if someone said, hey, we'll shoot a documentary, well, I'm like, we'll shoot it up Zen and I. That's what I want. I mean, I look back at the Finding Zen video and then the Dodo video. I mean, that's forever. And I love that. But I'm like, well, what if it was, you know, not about an accident? What if it was just about Zen and I? And I'm like, well, it's about your life right now. And Zen's a huge part of that. So it is about Zen and you. And this isn't, oh, we're going, special day, we're going, I'm going to the beach. I'm like, no, I go to the beach 2-3 times a week. This is a snapshot. This is looking through the keyhole, a keyhole into my life, Zen in my life, a day in the life of. And it totally, like, it didn't matter if it was windy, if there was no tide or no sand or no stones, because we were going to start filming here in the Zen garden on the drive, walking down. And yeah, when I got there doing my thing, but it totally had changed. And it was like I was kind of like very thankful that whatever I did on Tuesday and went out, somehow that spurred or added to. But it was complete clarity. And I'm like, if, you know, hopefully I don't do it a whole lot. But I'm like, if I died, but it was like, that was just, there it is. There's a documentary. And it's like, well, I guess it was so clear. It's like, no, that's my life. What's a day? I go, no, that's my life. Like me with that dog at that beach doing that, that's my life. And if that's my life, it's about how I got there and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it just, I was like, okay, this whole thing has meaning. It's like the podcast. It's a success story. I'm alone with this dog. I'm the best I've ever been. I get to come here 2-3 times a week, and it's freaking beautiful. And I'm pretty good at this. And then Thursday happened. And there was a little wind. So I was a little concerned with that when I started doing the balance, because I think I tried one other stone. But right when I kind of got there, it was like, it was beautiful. And there was, you know, a little probably lower tide than when I was out last on the 48 hours before. But I was in such a good place. And, you know, Michael from, you know, he came over and interviewed me for probably a half an hour inside the Zen garden. And then we drove, and I spoke the entire way, like an hour, I believe. I chatted. It was the fastest car ride ever to the beach. And then I'm walking down, and I'm just visually picturing where I am, and I'm picturing Michael behind, capturing Zen and I walking, and just the epic vista that, like, this is the background. Like, this is like I'm walking into an IMAX movie, shooting an IMAX movie. You know, I was just so pumped because, you know, visually I always see it, but I'm like picturing this camera capturing Zen and I in this majestic view. You know, this, it's just beautiful. And Michael's got two cameras. One's a documentary style camera and a drone. And he's got it all in bags, backpacks, and he's carrying it. Like, he's organized, he's efficient. You know, we're going to walk down a little bit. You can't carry a bunch of stuff. Then we're going to be there, you know, for 5 hours, 6 hours or so. So, you know, you got to pack enough, but you can't pack too much. And it was just like the best. And I just went to work. I mean, and I played with Zen. I said, this is what I normally do, and gave Zen his treat like I normally do. And then I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Because sometimes I'll just dig the soft sand, make a big circle just to get rid of most of the soft sand so it's a little harder, so I have kind of a ground platform. Because there wasn't any kind of cool stones coming out of the ground. I wasn't really sure about the stone, the rock formations in the tide, because now I'm dealing with the first time ever sunset. I mean, it's not sunset yet. We got there probably about 2:30. And sunset's about 5:30. But I just, like, I didn't want to go, okay, the sun's setting, tide's coming in. I didn't need any more with the, hey, I'm being, you know, recorded. And, you know, I got to make it happen live, basically, because it's being recorded. I'm going to have one shot at it, and we're leaving. And then the sun's going to set. So I was like, I didn't feel any pressure, but I'm like, I'm just going to do that. So I just went, boom, did the whole. And it's a bit of digging. I got this one piece of plywood that I kind of do all the sand work with. And I just boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, I kind of had what I wanted, and it didn't even start. I just walked up and saw this funky stone, and I'm like, okay, I kind of wanted a little taller. Because it casts cool shadows if it's taller. And with sun setting, I'm like, that could be dope. But taller just means more volatile with the wind. And First one didn't go, you know, according. It was a little light and a little flat, the top stone. I just think it could be catching too much air. So I quick made an adjustment, and I found one of the best top stones ever. And it just kind of, to me, that was kind of the, well, my art had evolved, and I expressed it during the documentary that, you know, people would kind of notice. And I think that's why I got the invite that, you know, I was doing, kind of combining two things, kind of pretty intricate balancing with kind of land art with stones around columns, you know, going up and down the sides of stone, stuff like that. But it just, to me, always became like the top stone. If you get a tiny contact in this just dope looking top stone, I mean, it just really looks awesome. And for me, if the whole thing is really, really tiny contact, it's just more susceptible to fall, and I just need it to stay so I can do the land art. I do the stones around it. You know, I want to put probably an hour or more into it, and I don't want the balance falling because I don't want to be walking in and out on the sand. So it's a whole kind of, but it, amazing. I got it to stick, which I just was not sure because it was just a little bit on the windy side, and this was a small contact, and it was a dope, and it stuck, and it stayed. And I went right to work on the stones. I did this row of stones, kind of like a tail around it. Then I started doing like a Scotland. I just totally lost the name. The big stones. I remember at some point. But anyway, just got really big stones and went around kind of the outside work or outside circle where the Stonehenge. There it is. Boom! Just around the outside circle with stones. Just, again, more shadows. It just looks super cool. And again, if you were to walk along the beach and saw all this, it'd be fantastic. Now Michael's got the drone out. And it just looks cool. It's all black. And I can hear it flying around while I'm working. And it was above my head when I got the, you know, the zero balance, they call it, when I got the top stone to balance. And the whole time the sun is starting to set. Now, I've not been out there for sunset. I mean, I've been going there for a long time. And I've just, you know, again, I go, you know, from 11 to 2, 10 to whatever, and want to leave before 3 because of just traffic. Now, if you stay for sunset, then you may as well stay for another hour and leave at 7. And I'm like, well, if I get there, you know, 10, 11 in the morning, I don't need to stay there that long. So I get 2-3 hours in and I'm fine. But I knew I was, you know, going to do the sunset, and we were just going to come home whenever it was. And it turned out, I mean, if there were 10 boxes on the wish list, every box was checked. Balance, boom, tiny contact, boom, top stone, boom, sunset, boom. Did I have time to do the other stuff in the sand? Yes. Add more stones? Yes. Was it an epic piece? Yes. Was I happy with the piece? Yes. Like, everything that was left for me to do went perfectly. And then Michael was just amazing and dope. And he kept, look, one more shot. Let's do it. Okay, before we leave. And I started getting cold. Like, my guy, like, I wanted to just shut it down. I was done. And he just wanted to keep shooting. And it was such a great thing going. That's the guy you want. You want the guy that I got to drag off the beach. And I'm just, you know, walking to the car, and we're driving home, and I walk in the house, and I was like, I can't believe that happened. Like, that's the biggest bucket list thing I have. And I just did it. And I could not have gone better. Oh, and the wind actually kind of died down, you know, a little bit closer to sunset. So it just became tranquil and peaceful. And, you know, there's Zen and I, and, you know, being captured by Michael. And, you know, just, I loved that it was Michael. And so at this point, I haven't even got, he's going to stick it all on a hard drive. And then I'm giving it to an old friend, client named Ernie. She's a badass editor, and then she's going to edit it. So I just... Like, if it's just about the scenery, it'll be dope. You know what I mean? I hope whatever I bring to it, I just would love it to be, I just want to see the story in it. I just want to see the beginning, the middle, and the end. I want it to make sense. And when I balance that piece and I'm walking you know, towards the sunset was Zen. I just want to be like, okay, this is what I did. Not just that balance. Not just coming out to the beach today. But this is what I achieved. This is the reward for getting through what I got through, for not quitting. That's my life. And the peace that I felt, like I was like, I just, like again, I said it a bunch, I don't need a whole lot. I'm not looking to do a whole lot. And I'm like, but that's done. You know what I mean? Like shot. Like not, well, except for that. I mean, I wish the sunset or the wind or the top stone or, you know, something. And like, I cannot wait to see it. I hope that there's fluidity and a story and it's good. Visually, you know, that stuff's going to be epic. And then I'll have that. I mean, it's never going to be a bad thing to me, but I just, you know, we're thinking about submitting it. You know, there's film festivals just to have documentaries. So I would just, to have it submitted, how ridiculous would that be? So it was Friday and it was kind of Saturday and I was, you know, like again, just that reveling in it, I guess would be the word. But I was also getting ready for Monday, which was yesterday, which is when I was going to the Santa Paula Trading Company to place my found art in a store for the very first time. So, you know, everything came back, you know, on my little excursion and it looked better and the Zen garden went back better. I changed a couple of things and painted a little bit. And it just, again, everything was better because of the unicorn experience. And I was hoping that I could do the store. And now I'm looking around and there's stuff out because I got it out to bring. So I pack some of it Sunday. No, I just get everything ready kind of Sunday night in my mind. I'm like, I don't have to leave till 10. I got one client. I go, I got an hour and a half to do some stuff. So after my first client, I start loading the car and there's a couple things I was, you know, put a couple hook hangers on and stuff like that. And it just kind of got a little bit more, took a little bit more time to get everything kind of ready. And then, because the stuff I was bringing was kind of delicate and small, so I really couldn't haul a bunch out. So I was taking like 10 trips to my truck. And I was like, I got to get going. But I left, you know, because like I said, it was the transition was, okay, wow, tomorrow I'll get this stuff. And then it was just, you know, my truck was pretty full. And I was pretty pleased. And I, you know, rolled up and it was Tracy with her two little daughters. And she had a friend there that was helping her with some stuff around the store. So it was another guy that actually ended up helping me. So I bring everything, give her the big spiel going, okay, I focused on bringing things and creating some things that were smaller, kind of between that $5 to $20 range, because she said that's kind of what sells the most. Then I brought next level, like $30 to $50, a few of those pieces, and then I brought some bigger pieces, frame prints, and these two big wooden ladders, because she said she had wall space and she would hang some things. So I thought, you know, we had kind of chatted going, okay, those would be things that maybe don't sell, but she looks at, she likes. So in my mind, I'm like, well, I got stuff in the closet that I don't look at that's not hanging up. I don't have room. So let me hang it somewhere, potentially sell, and if not, just delight this cool woman, Tracy, who is the first person who owned the store that said yes to found art. And I'm like, she wins. She gets to look at my stuff. If it doesn't sell, it'll hang in her store. You know, this is what I'm bringing. And then I made this one kind of point of sale piece. I found this ridiculous frame, and I found these two pieces of pipe, kind of big screw-looking metal things, and somehow decided one day to put these two pieces on this frame, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it because I didn't make the frame, so it's weird to put like my art in a frame I didn't make at this point. And then I just made a big sign, found art for sale. I did the same image of Zen and I in this little octopus stone creation that I made that I have on these little about the author cards that when you buy a found art piece from the store, you get, and then you also get this little note that I printed up. It's kind of like a personal note from me saying, hey, thank you for your found art purchase. So to walk in and going, okay, here's faith stone, small, medium, large. Here's faith stone, small, inner frame. I got these little bags and I polyurethane three little stones, like little small, smaller, and smallest, like a little bag of beach stones. And I thought, I'll just try it. But they loved them, and it worked well. And then I bought four, I brought 4x6 cards, blank cards with my artwork photography on them. And then I brought 5x7 matted 5x7 prints of my work. And then the two big kind of wooden ladders to hang, a black one, a red one, and then three framed prints. And I was like, you know, just the variety of stuff. Like, I get that idea of someone walking in the store and seeing these, you know, little faith stones, the little glued stone stacks, and go, oh, cool. And it's like, oh, but that thing he does, oh, that's his artwork on the beach. Oh, cool. Oh, these little wooden little found art pieces, those are his too, like for candle holders or whatever. Like, oh, and up on the wall, those are frame prints. He found the wood, made the frames, did those stone balances, printed the pictures, made the... I mean, I got to walk into my first store experience with all of that. And again, the variety for me was part of that's all I do. And also, well, now we'll see what sells. Okay, we ran out of that, make more of that, change this, do that. And I just look forward to that. To me, that sounded fun, and Tracy's dope. She's super chill. She's just like into art. Like, we were talking, and all of a sudden we were like finishing each other's sentences. And when I was hanging stuff, she's like, perfect, I love it. And I've been like, I didn't do anything wrong in her eye. We agreed on the pricing. Like, everything just went boom, boom. It was perfect. And I believe in my heart, it went so well because a part of that stuff process I was going through with Miss Yuck. And this was just, I just knew this was right. It just felt great. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, we'll wait and see. Called it a unicorn. Why? There's no such thing as unicorns. You know what I mean? So deep down inside, and I didn't post anything, and I was kind of, you know, holding back. And then went down, met Tracy immediately. I was like, okay, I love the store. I love how it looks. I like the little area where we're going to do this stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is super cool. And like I said, I just think it was better because of what I had gone through. Like loading my car, I had done it before. Driven with my car full of stuff, I have done that before. You know, and I went to that store and met Tracy with Zen before, and she's got a Rottweiler, so she loves dogs. And, you know, it was just this cool thing from the get-go, but yet I just believe in my heart it was a little bit better because of what I had previously gone through with the other person. Miss Yuck, I just came up with that. That's a good name. So the drive was like, oh, I'm driving with stuff again, and I'm dropping off my stuff. You know, it was just different and better, and I just felt so good. And then all of a sudden I was done, and she's like, well, I'll finish setting everything up. I got home, and I sent her a super cool text, and she texts me back, and she'll send me pictures. She goes, I'm going to come back tomorrow and finish. And I mean, she's like, I think she's giving me kind of a lot of room, and like there's these two kind of bookshelf-looking things, old wood, where all this art stuff was up, and not, she just puts my sign up on top, and then this mirror with dowels next to it, and I'm like, well, why would it have taken her so long? And so I'm very excited. I haven't got the pictures yet, and as soon as I get the pictures, I mean, obviously they'll be posted before this comes out, but sometime today I should get the pictures. So I got pictures of the outside of the store, and I posted some pictures of the stuff I was bringing. But to have pictures of the stuff up in the store, I'm just excited about that and posting it. I'm like, okay, boom, done. And then I drove home. And I was so peaceful. And I got in the house, and all the stuff I had out was gone. And the Zen Garden was, you know, it was picked up and clean. But just everything that was laying out was stuff I was bringing, but now it was gone. So I was like, wow, there's that sense of it being clean and a little lighter. And I'm like, but my stuff isn't just gone. It's in a store. And I could feel that. I could feel the joy of my place being a little emptier with the knowledge that my stuff was in a store. And I was like, okay, how do I talk about this? How do I explain this? And it was, again, that thing going, I was going to record Sunday. And I'm like, well, I'm going to install Monday. Why don't I just wait? And then I did. And I'm like, okay, so it's just the best time ever to be me. And so thankful for Michael and thankful for Tracy. And, you know, like, again, I mean, seeing my art up, I haven't seen that up yet, getting those pictures, you know, seeing any footage from the documentary I haven't seen, seeing the final documentary will be insane. You know, the Leaf thing that's coming up in March and all, you know, basically around my birthday. So, yeah, I like being me. And again, I'm selling that. That's what I'm selling. I started this. And I said that 6 years ago. I remember the very first episode. And I had no clue what I was going to go through. I got a couple notes. So the thing, you know, I got the thank you list. And the first thing I say thank you for is my faith. I haven't worked out. I did, you know, a couple little workouts, but it's been, you know, over 6 weeks with really no workouts. Running, foam rolling, but that's it. And it's just letting go. Okay, you used to, you did it a lot, you felt, you looked, blah, 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 don't care. How is this stuff going over here? Psh, best ever. Well, and you kind of need to shut up. And see, to me, that's 6 out of 10 versus the 8 out of 10. The 8 gets that stuff. Like, I need to stop wishing, wondering, hoping, and really being thankful and focusing on what I have right now. And then an 8 gets close to a 9, and you evolve and you vibrate higher. And it's like, okay, well, I've not been driving the car this entire time, so I'm not going to pretend to now. It's like, okay, I'm doing that. Okay, I'm going there. All right, I'm not throwing dumbbells around. All right, cool. Did a documentary, got my art in store. You don't get it all. What do you want to pick? What you have or what you want? I'm going to pick what I have. So, two clients of mine, I shared with their ability to show up for work. Neither one. Don't miss a day. I said, okay, how about showing up for you? And I mentioned this on the podcast before, too. And I was talking to my friend, my dear friend Madeline. And she goes, I have to show up for me like it is my job. And I went, well, there we go. And I love that. That's how you have to think. Because, again, there's got to be a bunch of people that just, you know, get up, get in the shower, get dressed, get in the car, commute and show up for work every day. Every day. Never late. But how's that pro you list? What you doing for you? Are you showing up every day, showered, dressed up to do for you? Pretend that's your job. I had to just mention just the weather that people went through. Like, the saddest thing in the world to me was Texas and them running out of water and then them running out of food. And then they had this one shot of a grocery store, like the shelves were empty, and it brought back the beginning of that pandemic. When the first couple times I went to the store and people were going up just buying stuff. Like, there's nothing left, so just buy whatever's left. And it was panic shopping. Like, that was one thing I did not like. I did not like that feeling. Like, if I got my essentials, you know, what Zen needs, my basics, food kind of needs, I, like, feel really comfortable. But if I can't get those things, And it's that we're running out. Like, that was very, very uncomfortable for me. So I just felt like everybody went through the pandemic. And we're still in the pandemic. And now, you know, people with the weather and the snow and the cold, and then they're without power. And then they're without power, and they're without water. And they're without power, they're without water, and they're without food. And literally, it seemed like the only state to live in the last month was California. And in X amount of time, you know, the one place no one will want to live is California with the forest fires. So pick your poison. But it was a couple days in a row, I was like at the beach. And I would get home and I'm like, it's minus 47. There's 3 feet of snow and I had sunblock on today. So I like literally sitting down, I was really looking forward to this because I mean, if it was just about P-Wipe, you know, I did a birthday episode for every year of the podcast. And I could just talk about the people, you know, the people, the listeners, the people that have shared, the people that have chimed in, the people that have supported, the people that have followed, you know, my clients. I could talk about all the things that have happened throughout the past 6 years that have touched or have been spawned from the podcast, you know. Nico, my producer, you know, happened to meet a listener, and then that became a friendship, and then dude becomes my producer and just added joy, and, you know, to me really made the podcast even better because there's joy behind the scenes with the producer and I, and that brings me joy, which brings joy to the podcast. And he's another success story. Yeah, Nico, that dude just, you know, he's not a all the dude I met, you know, he completely has transcended. And that's been a, you know, complete joy. So again, just to be reflecting on the podcast, what it's meant, what it's done, how it's helped people, how it helped me heal, everything it's meant to me. I mean, again, that could be a whole episode and I'd be super thankful. It's like, oh yeah, but there's my art Super Bowl and the documentary and my found art being in a store. And it's February of 2021. It's not even my birthday March, my birthday month. I mean, it's just, I'm excited for March. You know, birthday tattoo. You know, and then I'm going to do a live event, you know, that's going to be viewed globally, internationally. Like, that's ridiculous to me. So, come to my well by the water I sell. I like being me because I like the choices I made because I deemed myself worthy. So, if you like what you're doing, keep doing it. If you don't, deem yourself worthy. Do it a little different. Get a little different. And then start reaping the rewards, fruits of your labor. That's my experience. Thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. 6 years, best 6 years of my life. You are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your pro-you moment. 6 years, baby. 6 years of pro-you moments. That is the definition of little things done consistently. Thank you for being here. Let's do that thing that we do. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Draw the inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow them down, elongate them. We will stay present. We will stay focused on our breath, the flow, the in, the out, to the best of our ability. Anything else comes in calmly, quietly, ask it to leave the space between your ears. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Well done. Bravo. Congrats. If I was to never do a promo moment again, never to do a podcast episode again, I would just want people to listen from the beginning to the end and hear the difference in my voice and what I spoke about, what I was focused on, the choices I made, and how good I felt at the end. Like I decided to blaze a little trail by myself, and I made a map. Now you can get the map. That's a map of success story. Because I am by far, without a doubt, the best I've ever been. And nothing will affect that. And nothing else matters. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what I have. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I got to do this podcast for 6 years. And I'm thankful that I had a story to share. Peace and God bless.